When Cheryl asked me what the topic was going to be on this week, I really had to get in a lot of prayer because the topic that came to me, and it's funny that Mary, you and Marilyn and I were talking about this the other day. And the topic is justified by faith in Christ Jesus. And we were talking about people that we knew that, you know, felt more comfortable, you know, having their surface, you know, along with God. And so I had had this on my heart. So when we were discussing this, it was like a confirmation of God saying, this is what I want you to talk about today. So before that, I want to read this scripture out of Romans 5, verse 1, and I'm going to use that as my opening prayer this morning. And it goes, thank you, for we have been justified by faith. Let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, let us have access into that grace, which believers stand and rejoice in the hope of his glory. So, this topic of justified by faith through Christ Jesus, there's benefits that we can receive. And when we realize what those benefits are, we can rejoice. And it gives us a more secure hope and a solid foundation. But before I get to that point, I want to talk about where Paul talks about in Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3, he's saying, hey, there is none that is righteous. There is none. He's explaining that to the Jews and to the Gentiles. There is none that are righteous before God. So what is righteous? That's someone who's in good standings with God or someone who has a good record with God. And Paul tells us in these three chapters, there is none that are righteous before him. And the thing is this. This is kind of on what we were talking about the other day. You know, Satan comes to us and tries to convince us that if we're a good person, that we're going to go to heaven. Okay, I've heard that. I'm sure that you've heard that. I'm a good person, so that gives me the right or the access to heaven when I die. Or here's another one. You know, America's called the Christian nation. And believe it or not, there are some people that say, well, I'm an American, and since America is considered a Christian nation, that means I'm a Christian. I mean, they're really stretching out there, but that's what they believe. But you can't blame them. That's a lie from the pits of hell. But it's whether we decide to believe that or not. It's whether we, you know, we use that as our justification for living the lifestyle that we want, which brings me to the third one. Let's say you go to church every Sunday, but yet Monday through Saturday, you have sinful behavior, you have a sinful language or a sinful mouth, or you have a sinful lifestyle. And a sinful mouth could be cussing words or it could be talking about other people, you know, rumors, you know, judging people. A negative, instead of speaking life over them, you speak death over them. So that could be a sinful language could pertain to a lot of different things. But then again, they live that way 6 days out of the week, but the seventh day, they're faithful at coming to church. So, you know, they're saying, so I come to church, that means I'm a Christian. Well, if you go to Wendy's or to McDonald's, that doesn't make you a hamburger, right? No, it doesn't. So neither does going to church make you a Christian. Although, attending church is part of our Christian walk. There's a song that's out on the Christian radio that it talks about, then comes Sunday morning. And that's what we as Christians should be like. We should be excited to come to church because it's a time where we can come together corporately in unity and one accord and praise and worship our God, our Creator. But not only that, it's a time that we can get before God individually. This whole room could be packed, and yet, if you're sitting in the pew And you're so focused on the things of God and fellowshipping with him, you're not even aware of anyone else around you. You are focused on him. And that's what we're to do. We're to come here and we're to get the word. The word is to encourage us. It's to help build our faith. For faith is the substance of the things that we hope for. We'll get into that. But it's also a time that we come to get encouraged. Encouraged by the word, encouraged by each other, praying for each other. There's so many reasons as Christians in our Christian walk to come to church service. So many. And sometimes it's not about us. It might be about someone else when you come. It's a time that you will be ministering to somebody else. It won't be about you. It'll be about someone else that needs prayer, that needs you to stand in the gap for them. Because they're discouraged, they're disgusted, or feel hopeless. So, the thing is this. Some people think that when they come to church, it's like punching a time clock. God, I'm here. I'm here. Just so you know I'm here. Put that down in your book, that I'm here. But punching in like a time clock into church does not a Christian make. And we all know that. It's the way we live. It's what we say. So in chapter 4 of Romans, there's a righteousness that has been manifested apart from the works of the law. That's what Paul is telling us. First, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, he's setting them up saying, none of you are righteous. But then he gets to chapter 4 and he says, but there's a righteousness that has been manifested through God, through his precious son Jesus. So that it's a part, it's different, it's not a part of the work of the law. This righteousness that he gives is called the gift of his grace. The gift of his grace. And I know that I've mentioned it many times, God's mercy is not getting what we do deserve. So when we go to the Father and we repent, we're getting that mercy, even though we don't deserve it, but Jesus has already went to the cross and paid the price. And so because God promised that when he sent his son, that his son would, his blood would cleanse us as white as snow if we repent. If we come to the Father and repent, we are promised that he would give us his mercy. Although we don't deserve it, it's a gift that's freely given. We can't earn that gift. Okay, and then there's grace, God's grace. It's getting what you don't deserve. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve God's favor, God's blessings. We don't deserve that. But because of his love for us, he gives us his mercy and his grace. So when we believe and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's a gift of grace. God's grace to us. His righteousness. We're justified by faith in Christ. So we are no longer considered sinners, that God considers us justified and we are righteous in his sight. An unholy person, we're unholy people at one time, but we have been made holy in the sight of a holy God. So again, that is what we call the gift of grace. So if we've been justified by faith, then we no longer have to deal with being justified by the works of the law, by the works of the law. Here's an example of that. When I said earlier, I'm a good person. That's a good example right there. I'm a good person, so because I'm a good person, that gives me access. What you're saying there is, I'm earning it. I'm doing what I can to earn my access to heaven. We can't earn it. It's given to us freely. All we have to do is accept that Christ is our Savior, our Redeemer. So the thing is this, we have to put down those walls and realize it's nothing that we've done. There's nothing that we can do or could do that gives us access to heaven other than the fact of accepting Christ as our Savior. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 4, it says, the righteous shall live by faith. So if we live by faith, we're justified by faith in Christ. So Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he talks about this in Romans 4, he talks about Abraham, who was called to believe in the impossible. What was the impossible for Paul? Well, or for Abraham, was the fact that he and Sarah were beyond in age. They were beyond childbearing years. There was no way that was going to happen on their own. But because he believed God, when God said, "You are the father of many nations," he believed that to be true. And because of that, it says, it was counted onto Abraham as righteous. So because he believed God in that situation, trusted God in that situation, he was counted as righteous. So just as Abraham believed that God's promise, we believe in God's promise that he sent his son who took our place on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. We believe that promise. And because of that, just like Abraham was made righteous, we are made righteous. It goes on to say that he sent his son Jesus who took our place, paid for our redemption, and we can stand before the Father in righteousness. It's not that God will do the impossible. He's already done it. It's a done deal. When he sent Jesus, Jesus came and fulfilled the work that needed to be done so that we could take that gift of grace, that gift of righteousness. It's been given to us freely. It's so simple. And yet there are so many that let Satan come in and lie to them, and they come up with excuse after excuse after excuse, or, "I don't believe in that. I don't believe there is a God. I don't believe that Jesus came for me." But it tells us time and time again in the Word that God promised. He's a God that does not lie. He's the same God as yesterday, today, and forever. What he did for Abraham, he is doing for us today. All we have to do is receive it. So simple to receive it. And I remember us talking about the fact that how, with the pandemic and with all the things that are going on in this world, how some people who don't believe in Christ, don't believe that there is a God, how can they not have that faith? How can they go on with life? How do they, you know, how do they keep going? I'm so thankful that we've been given this wisdom and this knowledge. And it's not, when we receive that, it's not saying we're weak. When the Word says, when we are weak, we are strong in the Lord. So, you know, it's such a lie from the pits of hell that when people say, you know, I don't believe that there is a creator. All you have to do is walk outside and look at how the creation itself, there's no way that it could not be from a creator such as God. In Romans 4:25, it says, "Christ, who was delivered up by God, he was delivered up by God for our trespasses, and Christ was raised up by God for our justification." The thing is this, the impossible was made possible. It's a done deal. It's been done. It's already been accomplished. You know, we wait for you know, a miracle. You know, or we say that, you know, it's impossible. But it's not. God showed us that he made it possible through his son Jesus. If we believe this to be so, then we have been justified. We have been justified in Christ Jesus. So here are the benefits of being justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Here are some of the benefits that the Lord has shared with me. And with that, we can rejoice. When we're having a bad day, we need to reflect back on this, because this will bring you some joy. Okay, so it says in the first verse, it says we have peace with God. So what is peace? What kind of peace are we talking about? We're talking about a harmonious relationship. A harmonious relationship with God, but because before we were justified, we were what? Considered sinners. And if we were considered sinners before we were justified, then we're going to expect what? Judgment and the wrath of God. But because we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are no longer sinners. We are considered holy before God. And because we're considered holy before God, we're no longer enemies of God. We are friends of God. We're told that by the word itself that we are no longer enemies, but we are friends of God. And because we have this peace with God, we can cast our cares upon him and we can rest in him. That brings me joy. When I feel overwhelmed, or exhausted, my body's tired or whatever, I can reflect on the fact that I can rest in him. I find my rest in him. I can find my peace in him. I can cast my cares on him. Peace means in Hebrew, or the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, the God kind of peace, shalom. The biblical meaning of shalom means complete in Christ. So sometimes when we're having a bad day and we feel like everything we touch either falls, drops, or whatever, we can lean back on God and know that we are complete in Christ. You know, Satan's going to say, what are you, all fingers today or all thumbs or whatever? Or I can't do anything right today. But when we fall back on what God's promise is, these benefits, we realize who we are in Christ Jesus, that we are a child of the Most High God. Now, we talk about peace. Well, in Hebrews, it says in 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Well, faith in God and his son, which we've talked about, that pleases God. When we say, I believe that you sent your son on my behalf, we're saying, God's saying, I'm pleased with you. You believe that. Your faith, the faith that I gave you. You didn't earn that faith. It was given to us. God gives to all a measure of faith. We can't even take credit for that. The only thing we can take credit for is receiving that grace, receiving that love, receiving those benefits, that favor from God. That's the only thing we can take credit for, is receiving what he's got for us. So in order to please God, we first have to have faith. Then once we please God, we're going to get that peace that passes all understanding. So if you're looking for peace during a bad day, the first thing you got to do is say, okay, God says I have this peace. Well, in order to have that peace, I have to please God. Well, I know I please God because I know that he is my God and that he sent his son for me. So therefore, his word is true. He is a God that does not lie. He's given me a peace that passes all understanding. Father, I receive that peace. Father, I want to be filled to overflowing with this peace, because right now I'm not experiencing your peace. Just be still, because God will say, be still and know that I am God. So when we allow ourselves to be still before God, then he will pour out that favor, those blessings. He will give us the wisdom that we need to get through maybe that day that we're dealing with. So we have to wait on God. We have to get before God. Number two, the reason to rejoice in these benefits is, it says in Romans 5:2, it says, we have obtained access by faith into the grace of God. What's that mean, access? Or obtained. What's that mean? It means we've been given the privilege of God's audience. Whoa. We've been given the privilege of God's audience. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We receive his presence. All we have to do is go to him. He's there 24/7. When we've had a bad day, he's not out to lunch. He's right there with us. How do we know that? Because he sent Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us. With that, he's given us unlimited, unmerited, and unconditional favor, blessings, and his presence. All the things that we need to be overcomers every single day. Number three, we rejoice in the hope of his glory. Now, let's go back to Romans 3:23. It says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, that's before we experience the justification of faith, by faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, remember I said chapters 1, 2, and 3? Paul is talking about those that will fall short in the glory of God because they haven't received the salvation message. But once you receive that salvation message and you believe it to be so, what happens? There's a change that happens. You no longer fall short of the glory of God. You are now rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. There's a difference. So once you were falling short, now because you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's a hope. He's given you a hope of the glory of God. And with that standard of righteousness comes this hope, comes this peace, this comfort, and this joy. It's a package deal. We just do one thing, and that is to stand in faith, believing that Christ is our Lord and Savior, and there's this package deal that we get. It's all handed to us. We don't have to earn it. And it's unlimited at any time, 24/7. So with that, we can stand before God sinless. We are reckoned as righteous in God's sight. We no longer have to feel like we're going to always fall short of the glory of God. Whereas if you were doing or working through the law, you always fell short. There was no Pharisees, Sadducees. No one could live up to all of those laws. No one. Let's go to reason 4, and it's out of verse 3 and 5 of Romans chapter 5. It says, we have joy through the love of God. We have the joy in our suffering, knowing our suffering produces endurance. I know we don't like that suffering word, but a lot of us, me included, I had to go through a lot of suffering in order to get myself where I needed to be with the Lord. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of people have to go before they accept Christ. I just read this morning. Alice Cooper, I don't know what his real name was, but he was a rock singer. And I don't know, I've never seen any of his concerts or anything like that, but I've seen pictures of what he looks like when he was in concert. And I mean, and it was very gothic. And I just read that one time, and he was taking cocaine, and he looked at himself in the mirror, and he literally saw blood coming out of his eyes. Well, of course, what he was doing was hallucinating. And he was raised, I think his father was a pastor. So he knew the word, and he was running from God. But when he experienced that, the first thing he did was got before God. He cleaned himself up. It says that he had a baseball-size ball of cocaine, and he took that and he flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes we have to get to the end of ourselves before we get to God. Sad to say. But God is so full of love for each and every one of us that he'll wait till we get there. He doesn't throw up his hands and say, this is a hopeless cause. No. No, he doesn't say that. And when I read that story, it sure put a hope back in me regarding some loved ones that I know that are going through that same scenario. It put a hope in me. And that's another reason why we come here. That we can share and share stories of people who were lied to by the devil and were leading a destructive life, and yet their lives were turned around. And when we can share that with somebody who's been praying and praying and praying for somebody to be set free, when we hear those stories, it puts a hope back in us. But it's because of the love of God that he never leaves us, never forsakes us, never gives up on us. So it goes on to say that when we go through this suffering, it produces endurance. And endurance is, it causes us to stretch ourselves a little bit further because we know that God is with us and he'll give us what we need to endure till we get to where we need to be in Christ and in that particular situation. You know, we set limits on ourselves. I'm not going any further than this. Well, when we're with God, we know that he's giving us the strength to keep going. So because we allow that endurance to work, what it does is it produces a character in us. It's proof of who we are in Christ Jesus, that we are a child of the Most High God. So when we endure, it builds character in us, and when we show that character, what we're showing is that we are a child of the Most High God and that God will see us through. God will get us on the other side. So here's Job, who goes through a trial, through a test, and his wife is saying, just curse God and die, would you? But this is what Job says. This is where his character comes out, stands out. It says, though he slay me, still will I serve him. This is proven character, that he stood on what God said. When he did that, what it did to his hope, it made his hope a rock solid hope. So when we're going through these times of maybe a loss in the family or finances or dealing with a loved one who's dependent on drugs or alcohol, we have to just endure and stand on the word. You endure when you're standing on the word, and you might not see it physically. But we know that we know that we know that if we stand on the word of God, God will come through. God will come through for us. It goes on to say Paul had a hope. His hope was secure. It doesn't disappoint. That's what Paul is saying. Our hope in God does not disappoint. In Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. A God who never leaves us because he loves us. In Ephesians it says, when we become a child of God, we are sealed. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So that's God's way of saying, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to live and dwell within you. You're never alone. I'm with you always. And with the Holy Spirit comes the Comforter, the Counselor, the Provider, the one who leads and guides us. I listened to Charles Stanley last night a little bit, and he said that, you know, sometimes when you get to a crossroad and you're not sure where you're supposed to go, what direction God wants you to go, you sit and you listen and you say, Holy Spirit, bear witness with my spirit. Tell me the direction in which you want me to go. How is that done? You look at this fork in the road, and if that doesn't bring you peace, that's not the one you take. But if you look at this fork in the road and it shows you peace, it gives you a comfort, a knowing, a hope, that's the one you take. So, and talking about bearing witness, it says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So we know that we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. I love the way Carmen said it. When she was teaching the kids, she said it's like the Trinity. She was explaining the Trinity. She goes, like an egg. There's the shell, there's the yolk, and then there's the white stuff, but it's still one. That's what the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is. I loved when she gave that example. Number five, the benefit and the reason for rejoicing in the justification of our faith in Christ. Paul shows us an explanation of God's love in chapter 5 of Romans, verses 6 and 8, it says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in John 3:16, at the end of that verse, it says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So Jesus didn't wait till we got our acts together before he got on that cross. He got up there on that cross willingly because he knew that that would finish the work that he was sent to do. In number six, lastly, Romans 5:9, we are justified by his blood. We have salvation from the wrath of God. Again, we are justified by his blood. We have salvation from the wrath of God. It says in Romans 5:10, it says, while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son Jesus. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Jesus is in heaven now, but it didn't stop him from praying for us? He intercedes for us every single moment. He intercedes for us. He stands in the gap for us. So I want to break these down very quickly here. Justification is the removal of condemnation. Justification is the removal of condemnation. We are no longer under the condemnation because we've been under the law, the works of the law. Salvation is the freedom from judgment, and reconciled, we are changed from an enemy to a friend of God. With that, I want to go ahead and do a closing prayer for the gift of grace out of Ephesians 2, 13 to 19. It says, "In Christ Jesus let us, who once were far off, be brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has broken down the dividing wall of hostility between us, that he might reconcile us to God through his cross, thereby killing the hostility and so making peace through him. Therefore, let us who have made ourselves strangers and aliens become fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." That's God's word. That's God's promise to us. All we have to do is receive it. That's all we have to do is receive it. It's given to us freely. The price has been paid. I don't know about you, but that sure gives me a reason to rejoice. So when you're having a bad day, go to Romans chapter 5. And as you read those scriptures, let this message come back to your remembrance. Go ahead and stand, and I'll pray the benediction over you, your blessing over you. May the Lord bless and keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine down upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Thank you for coming today. I hope it was a blessing to you, and we'll see you at fellowship.